Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, everybody, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the most technically plagued 2 hours in talk radio. There is something going on with my Skype, something going on with the computer, something going on with everything. You know, have you ever noticed that this is just the way of things? This, somebody would complain about, I don't know, a bit of toxic chemical spray that winds up in your orange juice or something like that after it's imported from South America. And you call up and you go, hold on just a second. What's going on here? There's something in my everything. It's not just my orange juice. It's not just my supermarket goods. It's not just my vegetables. There really is something in my everything. Waiter, there's a fly in my soup. It's infuriating. And I'm just having major problems right now. You may have experienced dead air. There's the big wheel going on the thing. I don't know if anybody can hear me. There's some very strange stuff going on right about now, and I'm quite disturbed about it. I'm sorry, everybody. Let me see. Maybe I'll just pretend like it's like there's nothing going on, and that everybody can hear me. I'll just pretend that there's people listening, huh? How about that? The budget, National's budget, was released like a virus yesterday, and naturally, people got a little bit upset, and about 1,000 students blocked Simon Street, one of the major streets coming into the city. And this is what happens when you really tick people off. and more to the point, when you've got a budget and what you're trying to do is accomplish zero growth, and that's essentially what they're doing. They're just cutting services left, right, and center. They're not actually investing in anything worthwhile that's actually going to make money. That's actually how you get yourself out of the hole, not by paying off your debt, but by making more money. As an economy, that's how it's supposed to work, isn't it? You know, because how are you going to pay off your debt if you ain't got more money? You know, if you sell off all your stuff and you sell off all your income, and everything's gone. You're fracking gone, burgers. There's no bloody way you're ever going to make a difference in this world now. Because hey, you've been cut off at the knees. You know, you've had your arms cut off, your legs cut off. Yeah, you've been psychologically castrated. I mean, that's what they want our nations to be exactly. Okay, a completely and utterly dependent state of scumbaggery is the ultimate goal of the New World Order. For everybody. Completely interdependent, all right? Which means nobody is independent. Ergo, interdependence means it just leads you into dependence. It's just that simple. There's trade deals all around here. We have Trans-Pacific Partnerships. It's the basically the New Zealand and Pacific Rim countries equivalent of NAFTA or GATT. You know, all the American listeners, you know how there used to be like manufacturing jobs in the United States and stuff like that, and how had a bustling economy, how stuff actually, you know, there were towns out there that weren't ghost towns because they had entire factories to support most of the population of that town. That kind of stuff, right? You know how NAFTA and GATT made sure that never happened again? Well, we've got it now coming down. And same deal as before. If a big, bad-ass scumbaggery company like Monsanto comes in and says, look, New Zealanders, you're very, very naughty. You're spraying all of this Roundup all over the place, which we're selling you, and it's doing all the damage to people. And because you're saying something about it and refusing to buy from us now because we've been selling you poison which contaminates your groundwater for 30 years, we're going to sue you in the world court. And we'll win every time. We always do. We can't lose. We own those judges in that world court, man. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, they do. There's very little possibility that, a free New Zealand is capable of coming out of this. It's just not possible. It's ensuring your enslavement and that you also make sure that the corporations are actually able to enforce their laws and their practices on your government, which means it's corporations basically dictating straight to you, cut out the middleman. Are you crazy? This is what John Key wants in this new budget and everything. Right, we're cutting out benefits to students. Right. Now, on the one hand, I see that as a bad thing because I'm a former student and I have to pay off my student loan. In fact, currently still am paying it off at like $10 a week, just like most other people. And now it's going to actually ask you for instead of 10% of your income, 12% of your income at a time in which everybody, well, basically most students don't have bloody jobs because the economy is downturned because of John Key and his derivatives trading. Oh, yeah. I love it how they do that, man. They loan you out all this free money under the Labor government to get you all sucked in, right? And then when you're nice, mashing in debt, and you've got these interest-free loans and all of that kind of stuff like that, then they start clawing it back from you, all right? No previous government can bind its successor. A previous government could said you're not allowed to have tyranny in this country, and they wouldn't be able to bind their successor. A previous government would be able to say, look, you can't execute people without a trial. And they wouldn't be able to bind their successor. That's how the government's set up here. Anybody in the future can change anything anybody in the past has ever done in a night when they pass the law under urgency. Oh, it's urgent! We urgently need to enslave the people of New Zealand. We urgently need to cut away all their benefits. We urgently want to make all of those who are already impoverished even more impoverished. Because here's another part of the budget that I found very interesting. Smoking. Smoking, the bad, evil habit that it is. Hey, you can pick on smokers. Nobody cares about smokers anymore, do they? Nah. Everybody will just be like, let's kick them out of our bars. And now they're saying, let's kick them out of the streets, as in you cannot smoke in even in the street anymore. And then it's going to be, you cannot smoke in the parks. And then it's going to be, you can't smoke while driving. And then it's going to be, you know, well, basically what this law is doing is it's going to make cigarettes 10% more expensive for the next, like, 4 years in a row, starting January 1st, okay? So a pack of 20 ciggies, you know, will cost you $20. 20 ciggies for $20. Now, I think that because the Māori population in this country, about 45% of them smoke, are going to be hit the hardest by this. Oh, yeah. And there will be copious quantities of scabbing going on. Got a ciggy, bro? I have been guilty of that myself before in the past. You know? Scabbing will be a different game now if cigarettes are a dollar each. Because it's not just like, oh, you're just giving somebody, it's like 20 cents, 30 cents or something like that. You're actually, it's a whole dollar. And I remember we were walking down the street and there was a homeless woman who was very, very insistent that we give her cash so that she can buy some cigarettes. And I was with my mate, Mikhail, and he was getting himself some Pall Malls. And I said, yeah, don't give her the money, bro. Just give her some cigarettes. It's what she wants. Give it to her. And sure enough, that's what we did. On our way, incredibly insistent, watching the whole time at the counter. Cigarette addiction is not a nice thing, especially if it's an incredibly hardcore kind. But I don't think that means that making your expensive addiction incredibly more expensive is going to make the situation any better. Some people, sure. Mate, I just can't afford to smoke anymore, so that's the kick they'll need to give up. Sure, that'll work. Some people are saying that we're not taxing it enough, that it should be up even further. Now, I don't think that taxing cigarettes should be the answer. I don't think that restricting where people can use it is the answer. I think teaching people to have a little bit of self-responsibility and no need for regulation, no need for all that kind of stuff there. But then again, you'd get hounded for saying something like that. Because we don't live in a responsible society at the moment, because we've had so much legislation for so long dictating our behavior that we don't know how to behave responsibly on our own anymore. And so naturally, people are starting to smoke like chimneys and spend the family silver and do all these stupid things. Health is getting out of control in this country. Everybody's starting to get overweight. Most people are getting obeser, and it's just ridiculously horrific the amount of harm is being done in society by everything, if you look at it in a holistic perspective. All of the different inputs into your health. Smoking's just one of thousands. Thousands, literally. Chemicals that are sprayed on you, ingested by you, or in some way contaminated by applying on your skin or something of that nature. Smoking is just one of the health risks. But you know what? It's one of the few health risks where you can make an informed decision. The rest of them, you're not even aware of them at all. Everybody knows that smoking's bad for you. And you go, okay, well, I'm going to go down and have a pack of cigarettes. Somebody, once told me, what was it? Vinny, you're supporting the big oil companies. You're supporting the big tobacco companies by smoking. And I said to her, did you drive here? And she goes, yeah. Did you drive here in a mass-produced Japanese car? Yeah. That's owned by the Rothschilds? Yeah. And what about the petrol? Did you fill it up at a mobile or a Dutch East India trading company derivative oil company trading scum?
Yeah. Well, then you're supporting them too. It doesn't matter what we do, man. We're all supporting the New World Order in some way, shape or form. I think what matters is how you spend your bloody well life and how much responsibility you take for the rest of it. Okay, I knew people who were in the SAS, you know, the strongest, fittest, keenest minds on the planet, virtually. Okay, smoke like chimneys, and they're living into their old age. They're fine. So it's not a predeterminant to death, but 700 chemicals being artificially laced into what could be otherwise natural tobacco. That is a sophisticated delivery system, as far as I'm concerned, and not a good one. And you can taste the difference when you've got organic tobacco that you've grown yourself, dried yourself, and cured yourself with a teaspoon of banana rum in a jar. Okay, just pretty simple. It's growing tobacco and curing it and all of that kind of stuff. You don't have to be terribly sophisticated, and you can produce some incredibly tasty stuff to smoke. And yet, they want to increase the taxes on it, and they're not offering any compensation for any other people, I mean, smokers or whatever. I mean, why aren't we taxing caffeine more and alcohol more? I mean, I suppose we are. But then again, it comes back to the same principle. Just taxing something more doesn't make that problem go away, does it? If anything, it just makes the problem a hell of a lot more expensive for the person who's already hopelessly addicted to it and makes them even poorer and even worse off and probably even more likely to, instead of pay for the cigarettes, just stick. Don't you tell me that my child phone's gone. Oh, no. And then you can profit off the private prisons that house them. Isn't making every single problem and then coming in and posing as the savior sweet? Because you win every time. Because you can't lose. Except now that we know that the game is being played. 218-339-8525 is the number to call in. 218-339-8525. Back in a minute. Into the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The call-in line is now open, and we have one person holding on, so if you want to call in and join the queue, the number is 218-339-8525. We're going to go to our anonymous caller now. What's up? You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Vinnie. This is Andrew again from Hamilton.
G'day, Andrew.
Hi there. I'm just calling in about the budget. I truly think that we are going to have austerity here in New Zealand. I think the financial crisis is going to spread here at some stage. And I just think the government's in a holding pattern until that comes, because they all know it's going to come here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the prospect of speculating that they're going to be back on a balanced budget by, what, 2015 is absolutely laughable, considering what we should be able to see this year is going to be a much bigger financial crisis than we suffered in, say, 2008, for example.
Yes, that's totally correct. And the way they're going to get into a budget surplus is by selling our assets, selling the family silver, like Argentina sold all theirs and then collapsed after everything was sold. And it's just going to repeat here, I think.
Well, you know what the IMF's and the economic hitman's motto is? You go into a country, You get it in debt, you bribe their leader to not pay it back, and then you acquire their assets as collateral.
Yes. Yes, and the IMF has a whole plan, because when they lend you the money, they've got all these strings attached, like you've got to cut welfare, you've got to privatise your government industries and cut jobs and sell it to them on the cheap. So it's all just so much behind the scenes that we don't know about.
It is, and our parliamentarians are also belonging to things like Parliamentarians for Global Action. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I haven't actually.
Well, they have all these conferences and things like the Ritz Hotel in Dubai, or the Four Seasons in New York. They have the conferences in these mega hotels all around the globe, and they teach them all about sustainable development and how you've got to make sure that you apply with Agenda 21. It's basically a UN brainwashing program, and you have to be an elected parliamentarian in order to be even allowed in. But guess what the final straw is? Guess what you have to do in order to guarantee your membership?
Sell your soul to the devil.
Close. You have to pay by credit card.
Oh, no. So then they're creating money and charging your interest as well.
Yeah. It's like I could be the ultimate machismo mofo in the world with the globalist brainwashing technique-y business, and all I need is a credit card number. Oh, yeah. I wonder if you just made up a country and went in and applied and said that I'm an elected representative from scumbaggery land, and I've come here to represent my globalist ambitions at this unique panel with all of these elected parliamentarians from New Zealand. In fact, the Parliamentarians for Global Action, Andrew, is headed by Mr. Ross Robertson, I think, for Labour MP for Monaco. So we're practically running the show here. It's unbelievable. Andrew, I think you might have dropped out there. Sometimes we have a bit of problems with the boards here. If you call in from New Zealand, it'll just mute you arbitrarily. So if you want to reply, just basically you have to call straight back in. Sorry about that. It's a bit of a lame technical difficulty. As I say, they happen. It's live radio. What the budget this year is basically saying to everybody is, as Andrew correctly points out, is that we're heading for austerity. And what they're doing, I think they're just trying to, well, they're trying to make sure that when we hit austerity, austerity is what you do when you got nothing left, right? They're ensuring that when we do hit austerity, that we have absolutely nothing left, okay? As in, I'm not talking about, I'm just going to pull my pockets out here and maybe I've got a few coins, as in I've got nothing. I'm talking about literally got nothing to pay any of these foreign bankers off, because that's where all this debt's coming from. Those are the people that want their money and want their resources, and they're willing to take it from us, and they own the people who write our legislation, okay? Like they're a robot that you own. Andrew, you're back.
Hello there. Yes, I think the call did drop, so I'm glad to be back again.
Mm-mm. Have you heard much of what's been said?
Yeah, not exactly, but we're talking about debt slavery, and it really is the modern sort of, business of the world now. Everyone's trying to get you into debt, the wheel clampers and the shopping centres, like the libraries finding you. It's just a big debt maze, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, and around every corner there's more debt.
Yes, and it's meant to be there. It's so that people just can't live, can't pay their bills, and they'll have no time to fight, to start radio shows, to protest. They'll be forever searching where the next meal's coming from.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, the only reason why I'm doing this is because my girlfriend's been supporting me for 4 years until I've been built up to this point. I wouldn't have had the time or the money or anything to do that if not for her. And now she's saying it's been too long because, see, she's like everybody else. You want to come home at the end of the week and you want to at least
have some spare cash so you could get something for yourself that's nice or pay off a bit of debt with it. But she's had to live with the in poverty with me because of me for this long.
Yes. Well, you've done a great job, and I have signed up, and I am paying you $5 a month now. So if other people do that, then I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, all it takes is 200 people. I mean, if you ever look at the views that we've had on YouTube for all the activists and Kiwi issues that we've brought to the airwaves here, I mean, half a million views on YouTube and inside of 4 years of work by one guy.
That's fantastic, isn't it? That's so good.
With zero budget.
Yes, it's even better. It's even, you know, that's the best thing about it altogether. So I really hope other people do support you so you can keep going. And you're not really asking for much. You don't want to live in a big mansion or anything. You just want to survive like we all do.
Well, see, it wouldn't be bad if we lived in a big mansion either, because there's a hell of a lot of people out there, activists in particular, who want to be able to travel around and do their speeches and stuff like that, but they don't have a place to stay, they can't afford the food, they can't afford the transport, they can't raise money for themselves. If they wanted to, they don't have a nice place with a good boardroom to come and do presentations with. I mean, basically what I want to do is just sort of keep the engines running and provide the facilities so all these activists can come in here and do that stuff that basically nobody would allow them to do because there's allegedly no money in it. But the thing is, the truth movement is, in general, mostly people above the age of 40 who have a little bit of money left aside. And for all intents and purposes, it's the largest growing market on earth.
Yes, because people are aging. We're in an aging population. So, you know, I'm sure you'll get there in the end. I'm sure that you will. So I really hope people support you like I am.
And thank you so much for that as well, Andrew, because frankly, it's been a lot of the international audience that has been more supportive of the show, more than the New Zealanders. And this is a great humbug to me. I'm not entirely sure why that is. However, the small amount of New Zealanders who do contribute, they contribute massively.
Okay, that's great. But I think New Zealanders are in the mode of, if they're not happy, they'll just get on a plane and leave the country. Like, they won't stay here and change things. So until people really start changing things here, we're probably not going to get that many supporters, I don't think.
Yeah, you know what? If the students didn't look for a job and instead wanted to start a business, and you can't start a business in this country anymore because it's too expensive.
No.
All your compliance costs, all your taxes, your PAYE, it's extraordinary.
Yes.
And I'm glad because I don't run a business. I'm just me doing my radio show, running my website, and it's all personal. It's all in the private. So I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Well, in fact, they'll probably come knocking at my door someday, and then I'm fucked. Excuse me, fracked. But, you know, I'm sure at that point somebody else will save my ass too, because every single time I get into a huge pit of shtuck, Andrew, somebody's always there to save my ass. It's happened my entire life.
Wow, I think you're being looked after then. It sounds like, you know, you're doing the right thing in life, so the universe is sort of like blessing you, I think.
Yeah, well, the universe does bless me and protect me, but it also shafts me real bad too.
Yes, it sure does. Definitely, yes.
Yeah. Like, I remember I was telling some of the boys some of the stories of what happened to me when I was living down in Dunedin in my student days. Man,
okay.
I've been through some harsh times, man. I've been through some real harsh times. Like, my the house was so old and decrepit that, you know, how you've got those panelings outside the windows? You know, you got the skirts and whatever outside your windows. There were mushrooms growing out of those in our house.
Were they magic mushrooms or just normal mushrooms?
Well, it was magical that there were mushrooms growing out of the house. I'm not sure how magical the mushrooms themselves actually were, though.
No, that's true, actually, yes.
We didn't try them. And
the
house was so cold, it was on average 5 degrees colder inside. Like, when I went to go cook my spaghetti bolognese, I saw that my olive oil was frozen.
Oh, my goodness.
At room temperature.
Mm.
And, but my neighbours had it much worse, though. They had at least a foot in circumference hole in the side of their house into their living room from the outside.
So my goodness, that's shocking.
On Xbox from my kitchen.
Wow. Well, I lived there too, and I had an outside toilet, so I'd have to get up at midnight and rush to the toilet outside in the freezing snow and rush back in. So that was the worst part for me.
Mm-mm. Oh, the condensation's so bad there too. Like I had I had three duvets, two pairs of socks, long johns, and a beanie, and a jacket, and slippers to go to bed in, and a mink blanket over the top. And when I wake up in the morning, there'd be a layer of water on top of the mink blanket that I'd have to like wipe off every morning and just onto the floor kind of thing. And the
well, that doesn't sound very healthy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you've got through it, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, I survived. I think that's the main thing. And, you know, Dunedin's like about as close to Russia as you can get in this country. And incidentally, it does actually have the largest per capita of Russian immigrants for any other part of New Zealand. And I think of it like this. Everybody in Dunedin's an alcoholic or homeless, or it's bloody cold. So you know, we're going to come back, you know, mate, it's like home. You know, and I feel quite strongly about poverty because I've actually lived through it. And I think that's what our politicians and prime ministers and everything like that, they forget what it's like to have lived in poverty, and they stop talking to the people and caring because they don't live in that anymore. And they think, oh, thank God I'm out of this. I don't have to associate with normal people anymore. I can now go out with these billionaires and other detritus, diatribe, scumbaggery, filth that are all over the place and, you know, hanging off me like prostitutes off of the arm of some Playboy mansioneer. And because they do all that and live the high life, they forget about everybody else that they're supposed to be serving. You know, it's like being on a job, and your job is driving a truck, and you fall asleep at the wheel. You're not going to be driving that truck very long.
It's kind of like these politicians and the rich people, they just think that they're different than everyone else. Like, I think it was Bertrand Russell who said that if they want to make it so that people can't rebel the same way that sheep would never be able to rebel against being farmed for mutton. So they just think that they're so different than everyone else, but, you know, they're not really.
Well, see, the funny thing is, it's interesting because I saw a picture at the David Icke conference when he came here to New Zealand, and it's a picture of a herd of sheep being herded through the middle of a town, and only one or two sheep, instead of following the normal road that everyone else does, just going off in one other direction. And it completely stopped the whole herd, and they had to run around and try and get these sheep back in. Just these two little sheep with a mind of their own caused enormous problems and held up the whole gig.
That's interesting.
As individuals. So, you know, if you think one person can't make a difference, one small little thing here won't make much annoyance, just lock yourself in a room with one mosquito at night and see how that works out for you, okay? It's not going to pan out very well with the... God, that's annoying. We'll be right back after the break.
The world we knew is gone.
Yeah, and the assets we owned are gone too.
The conditions which framed taught us our stance.
Go on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
don't worry that the world is gone, ladies and gentlemen. I had a hairdresser mate, Aaron from Lucid Hair Studio. If you ever wanted a new haircut and you want to cut real damn fine, I haven't been to see him in a long time, but I was thinking about him this morning when I woke up, and I was just like, why am I thinking about Aaron? The lucid dreaming and all that kind of stuff. We had some great conversations. But his 2-year-old, no, 3-year-old, I think, came up to him one day and he says, Dad, what happened to yesterday? He said, man, that's pretty bloody deep for a 3-year-old. and what was pretty interesting is that the kid was just wondering, you know, what happened yesterday and how come it's not there anymore? And he's like, well, it's just today, son, that kind of thing. But it actually poses a very important question. Kids teach you a lot, okay? Kids can teach you a hell of a lot. And when you think about what happened to yesterday, you realize that you can never get it back. And so you realize you have to value every moment that you're living right now, because you'll never get it back. So you may as well make it worthwhile. Andrew, I think you're still there.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can I ask you something? And I like to ask this of callers and stuff like that. How did you actually wake up to the New World Order being here in little old New Zealand?
Oh, my goodness. That was very, very shocking, and I almost didn't survive it. I'd moved over to Australia, and I was just living a normal life there, and someone went and told lies about me to the police, and I ended up getting arrested and getting my house searched over a lie, which I proved it was a lie. And I just got seriously harassed by them for the next 4 years, and I just had to leave the country. So that woke me up, and I've just had to leave the country, and I'm back in New Zealand now.
Yeah, not entirely dissimilar from me. You know, getting busted when at the age of 19. It's the police actually are very counterproductive in a way to truth, is in a lot of ways, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, it's like when you experience your trauma, that's what snaps you out of the. Hey, you know what? Not everything is as it seems. Like when I admitted to the cops that I was a dealer and I'd been selling this much and blah, 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 and gave them all my weed and everything like that, they still made up stuff. I gave them everything.
Yes. And yes, still they still made them.
Yeah, it's what they do. And it came to dawn on me that after a few bad employment jobs, like 3 times in a row in the telco sector, that it wasn't just the police who were corrupt and full of BS a lot of the time. It was actually the whole system, everything. I get employed by people who are corrupt. If I get sick, I have to go and get medicines from people who are corrupt. If I vote, I've got a choice of which 2 corrupt people I can vote for, you know?
Yes.
It's a horrible thing, because you wonder, hold on a second, I have to start from scratch again. I have to learn how the world works all over. All those years that I spent in school, all those years that I spent preparing for a future that was all yesterday, and I'll never get it back.
No, that's true. And I went to this conference, and the speaker said this really profound thing. He said that banks don't work how you think they do, governments don't work how you think they do, police don't work how you think they do, and until you've actually been through it, there's just no way you'd ever realise it. So I don't know how people are going to wake up without having something terrible happening to them, but I hope that we just become like the 100th monkey, that, you know, when enough awake people are out there, we can just change the world somehow.
Yeah, and so some people, I mean, I've entertained this thought, and I think it'd probably work, but I'd never do it because I'm a person of conscience. You know how the New World Order use false flag attacks? They dress up as their would-be enemy, and then they go and attack themselves, right? Because I was wondering what would happen if a whole bunch of people who wanted to expose the government and tyranny and police and all of that kind of stuff masqueraded as police officers and started going around and openly selling drugs in front of people and cracking up protests and things like that. Suddenly the country would have a big storm, and they'd say that they'd see the police as corrupt, because they actually do all these things, right? But they don't do them out in the open for everybody to see. And, you know, see, this is the problem, though, is you cannot use the methods of the enemy. You can expose them, but you cannot use them, because they don't play by any kind of moral principle, and you can't maintain the moral high ground that we have if we start the same thing as
That's right.
It means we can come up with all new ways.
Yeah, the best way I've found is just looking into history and exposing what's happened. Like, for example, in the 1960s, an American warship, I think it was the USS Liberty, was attacked by Israel. And they all said it was a mistake and that Israel sort of like thought it was an Arab ship. But they were trying to start a war. They were trying to get America pulled into a war in the Middle East. So Israel attacked the battleship, and that's on Wikipedia. And, you know, if you just expose these things that have happened, then you see how ridiculous today is, because how dare we attack Afghanistan and Iraq for blowing up the New York 9/11 buildings when Israel's done that and nothing's happened to them?
And I think about it like they do those big attacks and they're the big media events and all of that. The way that they actually get them to sink in and the way they get to direct people and go in the way that they want them to go is through constant repetition and the use of propaganda. Now,
yes,
propaganda can be used for good, okay? There are two spectrums. They call it white propaganda, which is when you use the truth to enlighten people as to what's going on so that they'll go in a particular direction you want. Or black propaganda, whereas where you will use lies, manipulation, and cherry-picked facts to get people to draw their own conclusions so that they'll go in the direction that you want. So whenever they do these false flag attacks, we can't stop them per se. Like, if they really want to do them and they're going to anyway, we can't actually stop them. So in some cases, we can predict them and prepare responses, that kind of thing. Because anytime some big attack happens, you notice that truth is all over the world or onto it.
Instantly.
And it gets repeated a lot in the alternative truth, the mainstream truth movement. Okay, this is what we are now. We are mainstream. All of these other people that are talking about the system and trying to support it in any of its current forms, basically, they don't have a handle on reality. It's unfortunate, but it doesn't mean that they're stupid. Okay, it doesn't mean that they can't be woken up. It just means that they haven't had the appropriate amount of information, the appropriate amount of trauma, that nice combination of things that allow somebody to wake up and stop, basically living with their head up their ass.
Yes, that's true. And I have got hope, because I don't think you need to wake up everyone. I honestly think that once we get to a certain amount, we can just like change the world with a small percentage of awake people, like the 100th monkey sort of phenomenon.
Well, in African savanna life, when they have their herd animals, things of that nature, when a predator like a lion or a cheetah or some other form of predator is nearby, the herd doesn't necessarily all need to see the predator in order to become aware of it. About maybe 6% of the herd becomes aware, and all of a sudden the entire herd starts to move and get themselves to safety. It's the spotting of the predatory nature of our system, I think, that is that 100th monkey syndrome that you're talking about there. And it's right, you don't need a cast of thousands, okay? It's always been, throughout history, a very small percentage of people that have made the difference. The American War of Revolution was fought by, 1%, 2%, 3%, 4% tops of the U.S. population was actually behind and supporting, not even fighting in the war, okay? And it's because the vast majority of people do absolutely nothing. Now, what does a person who does nothing stop? Nothing. What does who does nothing accomplish? Nothing. So not only will they not stand in the way of the government who's rolling over them and trying to enslave them, but they also won't stand in the way of good people standing up, rising up, trying to save them either.
That's true.
So don't worry. You know, everybody's worried about, when are all the people going to wake up? Mate, here's the question. Have I woken up?
Yes.
Yes, I have. Then be bloody well happy, because despite all these all these thousands of different chemicals that you've got in your bloodstream, and the bazillions of different ways of that you've been propagandized since birth, you've still woken up. How can that be a depressing fact?
That's a very good point. Like, I think you have to see the glass half full and not be sad about the world. Just try and be happy, I think.
Yeah. And being happy is something that really ticks off the New World Order. Laughter
sure does.
Also ticks them off. And I had an interesting upbringing, like, because my dad wasn't around a lot of the time, and the only attention I got from him was his fist, basically, for the first 10 years of my life. I was a real violent kid, and I was bullied a lot. And when I got a bit bigger, I went from being the person who was bullied and violently reacting to the person who was the bully and being violent. And I realized one day that I could never get away with anything. Every single time I got into a fight or altercation with anybody, anywhere, anytime, even if it wasn't my fault, I was always the one who got labeled with all the blame for it. So I stopped hurting people and I started seeing bullies as the very enemy. And I see, in a way, myself as that enemy too, and keep a very close watch. And I think we should all have a look at the bullies in our society who try and tell everybody else what to do and try and bully them a little bit, because they're the only ones who truly deserve it.
Yes.
And they're cowardly too, which makes them easy. Easy pickings. You know, a lot of people are afraid of going up to John Key and stuff like that at a protest or something like that and ambushing him. He's just a man. Okay? I've ambushed him twice. And Helen Clark the once. And Peter Sharples from the Māori Party. And all of these people, Lucy Lawless and Robin Malcolm from Outrageous Fortune. I've gone up and I've ambushed all these people. And I've uploaded all these videos to YouTube. And people can watch it at all times. Right? Somebody was saying to me yesterday, you know, Vinny, what you're doing is inspirational. And I told her, yeah, I know. You know what the easiest way to inspire other people is? Just to do something inspirational. It's not that complicated. And they'll start going and doing it themselves, hopefully. And then maybe I'll be crazy. FreedomRadio.com. Question in the chat room. I thought Lucy was your cousin, as in Lucy Lawless, Xena Warrior Princess. Yes, she is. You know, I spent, I think I went round to her her daughter Daisy's, my cousin as well, 21st birthday at her place, and stayed quite late, actually. It was just, you know, me and Lucy in the kitchen just talking about stuff. And I asked her about the climate change thing and why she was so active in that particular area. And I know all about climate change and the cult aspects of it. And her eyes glazed over. They went bright, wide as, you know, like practically you could see the whites in them. The sort of crazed, deranged look that you'd expect to see in sort of some satanic cult member. That's the look that I saw in her eyes. And it was just like, oh, cuz, this is not good. And, of course, I can't, you know, tell her about all of this stuff. She wouldn't listen, would she? It's a bit sad. But anyway, it doesn't mean she's an evil person or a bad person or anything. It just means she's manipulated into believing something that's just may or may not be true. Like, I believe anthropogenic climate change is a reality in this world. However, the amount of effect that we have on the environment, more to the point, the amount
we'd be able to change had we carbon taxed everything and completely destroyed the economy is negligible anyway. So the fact that it's real, if the evidence shows that indeed it is, then it doesn't matter. I mean, do you know anybody who's not capable of moving a couple of millimetres a year, as the worst predictions of tidal flow are? I mean, come on. It's not going to be that bad. And they're trying to make it out like it's going to be bloody Moses or Noah's Ark or some kind of disaster. I mean, like, have you ever seen that movie Waterworld with what's his name, Kevin Costner? And the start of it is the Universal film logo. You know how it comes out with the Earth and Universal over the top of it, and then it zooms into the planet, and then you gradually notice that all of the land is getting swallowed up. Like even something like Mount Everest, which is 8 miles up, gets swallowed up by all this. There's not that much water. Okay, it's not possible for it to happen that way, unless some giant fracking ice comet or something like that came down and inundated everything. I mean, we're capable of having tidal waves that are as high as the Empire State Building that are fracking, full washing over everything. Like, you ever got out of a bathtub too quick and the big wall of water just kind of like goes from one end of the bathtub and then spills over the other? That's what happens when you have like a massive tsunami or something like that. It's simply the water displacement going and swashing over everything. The equator is 500 feet or something, or something ridiculous like that. At the water level, it's some ridiculous amount of hundreds of feet higher than the water level at, say, London. Okay, it's because the center of the Earth, and as it spins, and as well as the moon's pull out there, it actually makes a huge bulge of water in the middle. So if you get a massive earthquake or an earth-shattering event or whatever, you can imagine quite easily 500 feet of water swashing over the Earth. And it's happened before. That's what the whole Noah's Ark thing was. And they found the Ark. It had bloody titanium rivets. Okay? There's some real, real censored archaeology out there. This guy named Jonathan Gray from New Zealand, he was out there. He dug it up. He measured it. It was 550 cubits long, exactly as it says in the fracking Bible. It was on the top of a mountain in the Ararat Ranges near Syria. Okay? In a town called Noah's Big Boat. That's what the translation of the town's name is called. This huge disaster thing, you know, the 2012 scenario that you see in the movies and all of that, happened. Whether it's going to happen again, I think is still up for debate. However, I don't think you should base your life upon what will happen. I think you should probably base your life on what is happening right now and be kind of logical about it. All right, I asked my girlfriend's father, who's a deep believer in the Bible and Christianity, what would it take for you to actually join the fight against the New World Order? I mean, how many times does it need to be put in front of you before you'll act? And he says, well, I'll be shown signs, okay? And if I get shown 3 signs, then I'll start doing something. Well, the thing is, if you're waiting for those signs, you're probably not going to see them. Like, for example, if you're driving a car down a highway and you're looking for somewhere, you're looking for a sign that says, you know, Putiki Road or something like that, and you're driving, eventually you'll come and you'll see that sign and you'll turn, you'll go the right direction. But if you'll just pull over to the side of the road and wait for Putiki Road to come to you, it's just not going to happen. Take some initiative. If you're moving, then you'll actually go somewhere. It's simple physics. Have a look around you. You know, water filters, simple thing. How many microns Here's a good little general knowledge question for you. How many microns do the filter parts have to be in order to filter out fluoride? The answer is half a micron, which is also incidentally about how wide they need to be if you also want to filter out uranium, which is convenient because there's a lot of uranium in New Zealand water supplies. I'm not joking. Loren Murray from Lawrence Livermore Labs, okay, as in prestige in nuclearness. She's told us, and she's done the research. There's uranium in all of our water supplies. How on earth did it get there? Well, in some cases, you're talking about nuclear runoff. Now, what is nuclear runoff? Here's a real scary thing for you. New Zealand farmers, mate, we're ahead of the curve in farming. Here's what we do. We order in phosphate fertilizer, the bulk of it from Russia. And a friend of mine, and this is all hush-hush, I won't tell you who it is that told me, went to Russia. And they saw these massive mines, phosphate fertilizer mines, right? On the sides of these massive roads that they're cruising on. And they're going, man, these are enormous. Look at the size of them. And there's lots of them too. How did they move that much earth? Asking the comrade beside him, you know? And they say, well, we just use the old warheads. So what they're doing is they're blowing up huge masses of land and harvesting the phosphate fertilizer out of it, processing it and sending it here, and it's still contaminated with all that nuclear radiation and everything. And they're dumping it onto the farmland. And that farmland, when it gets rained on, all that radiation leaches into the waterways. Presto. You've got your whole country contaminated with bloody uranium. And you know what's funny? You know how many radiation detectors that we have at New Zealand ports, as in the whole of New Zealand? As in how many containers per year that they check in case there's some radioactive material in there? Nothing! Nothing at all. There is not one. This is just beyond belief. I know. In this age of 9/11 terrorism and everything like that, you'd figure that at least be one dude. You know? Some guy with a little device like on Ghostbusters cruising around the containers and going, me, 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 you know, like Beaker on the Muppets. But there's nothing. God, New Zealand, we're wide open. We are so screwed. If anybody decided to go with the Australians did a great advertisement about New Zealand. It says 100% ripe for the taking. And they're right. You know how much Air Force we've got? You know how long it'd be predicted that our Air Force would last if we were attacked? 17 minutes. It'll be like on Independence Day. We're so screwed, man. You know, and then what are we going to do? We've got a population that half of them are obese and the other half of them smoke, so they'll be too poor to buy any guns or bullets or anything like that, and too unhealthy to run into the bush, and too public schooled in the education system to know how to survive in the bush if they wanted to go bush, even if they could go bush anyway. It's, you know, we are a absolute sitting duck. And get this. Here's the great part about New Zealand's strategic position in the world. Antarctica. There is only one place where you can fly from and to Antarctica at all times of the year. That is New Zealand. That is the only place that can do it. Do you have any idea how much oil and reserves and stuff they're now finding out there in Antarctica? this place, this country, is going to be used as a port, essentially. And it's a heck of a lot easier to manage a port where all the people are slaves. You know? If they can't interfere with your business, your general comings and goings and whatnot, why wouldn't you? That's what they do. Every single time. Oh, and what's going on right now around New Zealand? Oh, that's right. We've got fracking. And then new prospecting all over the time. I think there was something like 16, 18, goodness knows how many. There's probably more now than a couple of weeks ago when I spoke to Megan Manuka about it on the show. All right. Ever look in the Vinnie Eastwood Show archives under the Kiwi Collaborators. You look for Megan Manuka. She's wearing a bikini covered in oil with a big sign that says frack off. Okay. Great chick. Awesome. And she has exposed countless amounts of scumbaggery to do with fracking in this country. They are looking at turning the whole place into a bloody contaminated strip mine. You know the good place about contaminated strip mines is? No locals to complain about whatever you're doing. Yeah. So when they're using this nice little place as a fabulous little slave-regulated wasteland under Agenda 21 with a 90% reduced population. We've only got 4 million at the moment. You know? These people are ruthless. They don't care. I mean, the UK, the Uber Kingdom, has like 40 million people there. Okay? And they still want to annihilate all of them. They don't care about our lives. They only care about their control. And their continued control, more to the point, because they're taking the long view. That's why when you're voting, have a look at the history of the party that you're voting for. If they have engaged in scumbaggery, one iota, at any point, then you can be guaranteed they're going to start doing it again, after you elect them, of course. And there's nary a party that hasn't committed scumbaggery of some kind in this country, or any other for that matter, that has wound up getting elected and getting big and what have you. They all get co-opted. It's so annoying. You see somebody who's great, who gets in there, and they're taking it on, and they're getting supported by all the people. And then all of a sudden after election day, for the love of Norwegian cheese, how can I have not seen that coming? You know, like Obama. And then you get somebody who's good, who gets in there, who's getting the support of the people, and then, the election gets stolen from them and they get completely sidelined in the media and soundbited away into horrid BS, and they get set up and ambushed all the time and having the most terrible form of gutter journalism known to man thrown in their face by Fox News, like Ron Paul. Okay? Doesn't matter what country you're in. The good guys always go down. That's the immutable truth that I've seen. And it's really sad to say that. A lot of people like to have hope that the good guys will always win. Nah, man, that's not what history says. The history book says the good guys always go down, but their cause lives on and wins. When you want to change society, you have to be prepared to sacrifice everything that you are in order to do it. Dr. Martin Luther King knew this when he said, "I've seen the promised land. I've been to the top of the mountain. And I may not get there with you. But one day, we will see the promised land together." Okay? And he was assassinated soon after that. Black Americans still got their freedoms to a degree, and now about, 40 million of them have been aborted thanks to Planned Parenthood. That's the biggest genocide of mankind. And I think Bill Gates' daddy was also a director on the board of Planned Parenthood, and now he's given it, billions of dollars and what have you to vaccine and sterilization programs all over Africa, and still supports Planned Parenthood lock, stock, and barrel.
You gotta be kidding me, mate. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. Back in a minute. Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that you can't run away from. Mainly probably because you've been poisoned with aspartame and thimerosal and formaldehyde directly injected into the bloodstream. My very special guest has finally arrived. Who's classic for making, who's for being fashionably late, I think is the euphemistic way of calling it. It's been Clifford.
Yeah, or fashionably not making it at all, yeah.
Yeah. That's how Dean is, ladies and gentlemen. Like to get him to remember to come on your show on time is like a miracle. How many times did you like not show up to Red Ice Radio?
Oh, man, I finally made my fourth appearance.
Yeah. You made your fourth appearance. Is that after like 16 tries or?
Oh man, yeah, no, the fourth try was the first one I made it to. I wasn't able to make it to the first three. So yeah, he wasn't too happy about that. Thankfully, he was a good sport about it. Although Lana just about killed me because she's the one scheduling all this kind of stuff. So it was I'm tough to find at times. I take on about 30 times more than I can actually handle, and so I'm just all over the place.
Yep. Like a duck doing filter feeding.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, man. So I only missed half of the show or four parts of the show. I'm not too sure. But, yeah, I forgot my Skype setting was actually sent to offline while I was working here on some paperwork. So that was my bad.
Well, you're always working on something, aren't you, Dean?
Oh, it never ends. I'll tell you what, if you'd need a million lifetimes to correct all the wrongs going on in this world right now. So,
well, I'll tell you what. How about we focus on some of the callers' problems and let's answer some of their questions while we got you here, eh?
Sure.
Sounds like a good idea. All right, ladies and gentlemen, caller lines are open now, 218-339-8525. If you want to know anything about anything, Dean Clifford's the man to basically help your ass out of the legal fiction ceremony, as it were. So 218-339-8525. 8525, 218-339-8525, or if you are a bit shy and you don't want to call up or anything like that, you know, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com chat room, all right, and pop a question in there, right?
Yeah, careful, you don't want them to hear your voice on the internet or they're going to send a predator drone to your house, eh?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I think I was talking to Mike Chambers the other day, I think it might have been a couple of weeks ago, and he had a caller call into his show from his cell phone. He says, man, this predator drone has been following me for the last 30 minutes.
That's awesome. You know what? I was driving last year on a highway with a friend of mine coming back to the city from a job site, and my cell phone rang, and it came up as all letters.
What?
And random letters. I'm not kidding. And I looked at my phone, and I just went, what the hell? And as soon as I'm like, look at this, and I show my buddy, he sees what's showing up on the call display on the phone, and the first thing he did was he leaned forward and started looking up in the sky out of the windshield. He was just like, oh man, dude, that's just fucking weird, man. You got like a predator drone coming after you when you start getting phone calls like that. But no, I don't believe in any of that nonsense. That's all crap, eh? Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They're supposed to fear us, not the other way around.
One nation under the drone. I think it's
nice. So yeah, your caller lines aren't getting flooded there, I guess, eh?
Not yet. 218-339-8525. If you want to call in from New Zealand, you put a 001 in front of that. So it's 001-218-339-8525.
Dean, why don't you just tell people a little bit about who you are? Maybe that'll get the callers excited and want to call in and ask you questions.
Oh, boy, that's such a vague place to start. I don't know. I'm...
And also, before you continue, we're under FCC regulations, so we have to watch the language. I caught myself saying the F word earlier on air, and you just said it too. So it's just like, we have to maintain the control.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Unintentional, not a problem. Well, geez, what's my specialty? I guess I've kind of learned and figured out the scam that's going on with the courts and with law and with justice and all the nonsense that's going on the planet right now. And I'm teaching people how to get out of the matrix, essentially. I guess I'm Neo, leading people out of the system at this point, is kind of the most vague and general way to put that. If you want to get out of the legal system, the adventures in legal land that people normally have, not use lawyers anymore and not have statutes apply to you anymore and get out of income taxes and get out of all this nonsense, I'm the guy, one of the guys to talk to.
Well, you know, as it turns out, I had a listener, Grant, drop in to the house yesterday, and we hung out for a couple of hours, and he gave me a donation, and he said, "You know how I got that donation money for you, Vinny?" "Yeah, no." He says, "I've used the legal know-how, and that's what I would have paid in tax. So this is how I'm choosing to pay my taxes, by giving it directly to the Vinny Eastwood Show."
Wonderful. No, that's absolutely fantastic, and. Now, I consider it mission accomplished already for figuring out the system and how to get out of it. And now I'm more concentrating on building alternative economies and getting into sustainable development and organic food and farming and just kind of a return to sanity now. I don't want anything more to do with this whole nonsense system that's going on. So I'm glad to see it's all collapsing right now. I watch the stock markets just so I can have a good laugh in the morning and see what's tanking and how many more zillions of dollars they created to try to keep their make-believe system afloat. And it's just comical. I love it now.
Yeah, absolutely. And the new currency, I think, would probably be marijuana, because people have got to understand. Because people have got to understand out there that weed will get you through times with no money better than money will get you through times with no weed.
Nice. You have no idea how many times people have told me that I actually should smoke pot. I've never done it in my life. Everybody's like, "Man, you'd relax so much more." And I just keep telling people, my response to that is, if you guys understood what a high on life I have going on right now, you'd understand I actually don't need to supplement that with anything. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, it's just about expansion in every direction. I mean, for some people, having a focus gives them grounding, and for some people, focusing on how other people get their grounding gives them grounding, kind of thing. So they're all over the place. But because they're all over the place, they've got so many places to put their feet.
Yeah, no, I've actually heard that from a lot of people. It actually helps them to focus, and that's actually not one of my problems. Usually I get so focused on what I'm doing, I completely ignore everything else for even weeks at a time. So if there's an opposite to weed out there, I need to consume some of that.
Yeah, indeed. And there's also the other aspects. You know, you talked about sustainable development there, and as we all know, that's a big buzzword for Agenda 21. But the thing is, what they've done is they've sort of corrupted what that should mean and what it is, you know, to yep. an actual lifestyle where you're not going to get bloody cancer all the time, where you're not going to have violence and crime in the streets, where you're not overly taxed and living in abject poverty. And you're living naturally, as close to balance with the environment, and not doing as much damage to it as possible. It doesn't mean exterminating everybody and just living in compact megacities like on Judge Dredd.
There you go. No, I tell people all the time, actually, the crime and the violence nowadays is nothing more than a reaction to our inability to change any of our surroundings or to have any kind of an impact on our lives. It's like, no matter what we do, we can't do anything about everything going on around us, right? We need permission from the government to take a shit. There's unemployment. There's no jobs. Everybody's
waiting around. There's the FCC bomb again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's not a swear word, is it?
Yeah.
I only thought the F-bomb was a swear word. The other one is so common in my vocabulary.
Well, the freedom of speech you get in America, I just love it, eh?
See, that's my job site lingo coming out again. But I think we talked about that once before, is that they did experiments on that years ago where they found that when they put a bunch of rats in a cage, you know, that the happier, the more control of their surroundings the rats had, the happier they were. And the less control they had of their surroundings, the more angry and violent they became. They tried to act out in any way they could to try to change their surroundings because they just had an inability to effect change in their environment. And that's all that's happening with us is the more regulations that come down, the more government control, the more we're told what to do, where we can go, what we can say. We're starting to get more violent and we're acting out more because we have no control over our lives. We can't do anything without getting in trouble, without going to jail, without having to pay a fine, without having to do something. And people are tired of it. And that's kind of where I come in. So I was tired of it 15 years ago, and now I'm in a position where I don't have to worry about that anymore. So,
well, you know, it's funny. Because society has been structured the way it is, you don't have much of a choice in virtually anything that you do. You've taken people's inherent ability to even have responsibility at all away from them. And so why is it a surprise that people start acting irresponsible?
It's not. That's what they're trying to breed right now, right? Because especially for the – I mean, right now in the United States, the jail and the court system is about the only economy that's afloat in the United States. And the only way to get more business is to create new crimes and to create more criminals. The best way to do that is to pass, you know, what every year they pass like something like a million new laws in the United States. They've got millions upon millions upon millions of laws on the books. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's like their only industry. And so that's exactly what's causing all the dissent right now as well. Is, I mean, you can't leave your house in the morning without breaking about 150 different laws on the books. So how are you supposed
to
live?
It's true. You know, the thing reminds me of that movie, The Island, you know, where he wakes up from having a nightmare, and then the problem is, when he wakes up, he's in a world that is like a living nightmare, goes to take a leak, and there's a bit of a sodium excess, so that he can't have bacon for his breakfast now, and he's been having erratic sleep patterns, so now he has to go and get some doctor to talk to him and plug little nanobots into his eyeballs in order to do synaptic brain scans and all this kind of stuff. Like you're a little you literally are a little walking biological experiment these days, and that's the kind of future that they see for all of us: total control from the moment we wake until the moment we go to sleep.
And we're the pushback against that system. We're the ones that are getting away from banks and getting away from mortgages and getting away from loans and getting back to having farms that operate debt-free and grow organic food and organic beef. And we're just opting out of the system. That's it. Okay, good. You go your way. We'll go our way. I think we'll do better off because you need to live off us and we don't need you. We'll be better off without a bunch of blood-sucking parasites trying to suck the life out of us.
And you didn't all of a sudden one day end up in that situation. It takes a lot of work to actually get apart from the system, doesn't it?
Oh, there's no question. You have to understand all the legal nonsense that's going on, which was a very, very long road. And the answer turned out to be something incredibly simple. I mean, talk about hiding something right in plain sight and making it so unbelievable that you would think that there's no way that could be the answer. And it turns out to be the answer. But it was for me, it was a 15-year long road. That involved learning off a lot of people and then finding out where they went wrong and going back and fixing that and just dissecting this system that they've been developing to enslave us for God knows how many years and generations and, dumbing us down in the public schools and making it so that we don't even have the ability to go back and to research laws effectively and try to figure out what they've done to us. So it's been a long road, and now I'm trying to help people through that. And it's become a lot easier now that we have the answers on how to get people where we want to be. But it's kind of infuriating, too. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to teach people that you have these mysterious treasury accounts where the government owes you billions of dollars, and you can access these accounts and buy houses and buy Ferraris and be rich. And we're trying to teach people that it's a scam. And it's just I almost think that the government's trying to put all this information out there to try to get people to stay playing in their system, thinking they're going to get rich or have access to all this money, just to keep them playing in the system, so that the government can have power over them. So. getting frustrating at times too, trying to talk sense into people and logic, because it's a logic and reasoning are a skill that I think has been lost for a long time now.
Well, it's been purposely basically hammered out of us.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, every day we come home from our mind-numbing job, we sit down and we watch mind-numbing TV and we eat processed food that numbs our mind. And we're surprised that everybody's a numbskull.
Yeah, that's just it. And then we all turn, you know, then we're all victims of the public education system too. So we've been trained all our lives to answer to what we perceive as authority, right? And actually, it's funny. I was just talking on Red Ice Radio about this last week when we got into it, and we were laughing about the fact that most people actually, their first response when I tell them is that they can opt out of this system, they can cease being citizens of the government, they can go back to their natural rights. People are like, oh, so you believe in anarchy? And I laugh. I'm like, anarchy? Are you kidding me? We're there now. This is anarchy. There is no law. The government doesn't obey the law. The cops don't obey the law. Nobody obeys the friggin' law. There is outright anarchy now. We are living it. What we're trying to teach people is actually the restoration of law and order. We want to bring it back. That's how deluded we are. We actually think we live in a society of law and order right now. Are you kidding me?
Isn't it funny that when a great idea like law and order gets old and falls out of practice and people forget about it, when it comes back, people not only think it's new, but they think it's revolutionary. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Dean Clifford is my guest. 218-339-8525. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Jamming a finger in the face of scumbags and pointing out their scumbaggery. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated, Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, where everybody has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb, and we're going through the opposite of posterity. It's called austerity, like a 1960s secret agent called Austere Powers. Poverty, baby, yeah! Welcome back, everybody. And also welcome back to Dean Clifford.
Yeah, I'm still here. Cackling.
Yeah. It's like cackling there. I find it... I'm actually quite surprised, Dean, at how many laughs I have at the expense of the human race. You know, everybody's getting screwed. Isn't it hilarious?
You have to laugh at the human race. It's actually quite pathetic. So I think one of my favorite pictures I've seen recently is that the evolution picture there, you know, where you start off with a little monkey and then it's somebody half standing up and then it's a guy standing up a little further and then you got the Homo sapien one at the very top there with the fully upright man. And the picture I saw, instead of a fully upright man, he was turned around the other way, walking backwards saying, "Go back, we effed it all up." And it's like, yeah, that's about the most accurate picture I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. And the thing is, we talked about anarchy right then, saying that we've got anarchy now. I don't think we have anarchy now. What we have is chaos. The word anarchy is, you know, how we have an oligarchy, as in the rule by the rich, oli meaning the rich or whatever. And anarchy is the absence of a ruler. No ruler. Oh. Not no rules, but no rulers.
Okay. Yeah, that would only be half right then. But so then we do have chaos. I don't think we know who our rulers are though. So there actually almost is a lack of any rulers. The government
they are the darkness of chaos. We do have rulers, but the problem is because they're not public and accountable. We don't have the extra added benefits of having a visible ruler, somebody who we can blame.
Yep. So it would be basically we have people who claim to be our rulers, but really are not.
I mean, basically, here's the definition of terrorism, and I was giving this out last night because we had a big protest here outside of prison because a couple of guys were arrested for terrorism, and they're basically Maori activists who had these alleged military-style training camps, and they had a few weapons, and basically, after spending something like $16 million terrorizing an entire township, taking some thousands of photos,
hundreds and thousands of hours of police time, they managed to convict two people of illegal firearms possession and convict them for 2.5 years. And guess how they did this? By ignoring every bit of evidence in the case, not most of, but every bit of evidence in the case that was disproved by the defense, by the judge just summing up the case. The judge just sums up the case, makes up the evidence as he sees fit, ignores the jury, sends these guys to bloody prison. Now, the definition of terrorism is actually a system of government, much like communism or fascism. Those isms are systems of government. Okay, yep. Terrorism as a system of government is whereby the government particularly uses its power to make you afraid so that you will bend to its will. Now, do we or do we not live in terrorist states?
You live in democracies, and that's the problem.
I mean, maybe that's words misspelt. I mean, maybe there's an N, you know, a democracy.
Yeah, the democracy is, if they're promoting democracy and the U.S. is bringing democracy by gunpoint to the rest of the world, then maybe democracies aren't what they're cracked up to be. And turns out they're not. If you're a citizen of a democracy, you have no rights at all. You have government granted privileges. And that's why they want to spread democracy across the planet. They want to get rid of rights, and they want to replace it with civil code, which is government-granted privileges, which means they can be taken away at will without notice, and that's what just happened to those two guys. The judge took away their rights at will with no notice, ignored all the evidence, and just said, no, I'm in a position to throw you in jail for no reason, and I'm going to do it. And he did it. That's what being a citizen of a democracy does to you. And that's why we're teaching people to leave the democracies. I don't know how many times I ask Americans all the time. I say, look, I said, your constitution created a republic. So why are you all voting in a democracy? And they can't answer that. They don't know. They don't know. They only had the republic for 2 years before they started a democratic government that basically covered the republic. And they got all their citizens to recontract with a democratic government where you have no protections under the Constitution. You're a citizen of a government that can give and take away rights at will. So that's the big thing we're trying to teach people now, is just to revoke their citizenship. Leave the democracies. Leave. They need you to voluntarily become a citizen of their governments. And as soon as you become a voluntary citizen, you're done. You have no rights. So that is the democracies are the chaos you're talking about.
Yeah, and I find that what we get confused, okay? We think that because somebody has a title like Sir or Dame or Judge or Your Honourable Prime Minister, that they can be trusted, that they have at least some kind of honour or some kind of moral authority backing their word. And it's kind of like in the mafia, how certain people will be consiglieres, or certain people will be dons, and what have you. There's simply different positions of a criminal gang that is designed to be there to operate in an illegal way to gather as much profit and power and control as they can without starting a war with you. So that, because wars are very, very expensive, and they don't want to start open wars with the population. Not straight out, not until they're dominant enough to deal a killing blow instantly.
Yeah, well, you know what? And the other thing is, too, is that titles used to come after names, right? Like if you were a blacksmith, your last name was Smith. So it was always your name. And then what you did, if you were honorable or your trade or whatever, you know, like if I was considered a wise man back in the day, I would be known as Dean the Wise, not Wise Dean.
Yeah.
You know? And
So David Rockefeller would be like David the Scumbaggery.
There you go. Yeah, David the Scumbag. Instead of Scumbag David, which would be in our current system, which is why you have Judge So-and-so, right? Mm. Or the Honorable So-and-so, right? That's a prefix. That's not supposed to come before your name. The description of who you are is supposed to come after your name.
Yeah. Like, who's Vinny? Oh, Well, Vinny's Vinny Eastwood. He does a radio show host, etc. Okay, so yeah, the descriptions come after your name. First, you tell people what you are, you know, who you are, and then you describe what you are. Okay, and not before. And the other thing. Now, do you think that there's maybe something interesting in that, Dean, that they're creating an almost visage for themselves, for which they are tacked onto it rather than it onto them?
Oh, well, come on. They create their own titles. About 5 years ago, I took every government agent, I didn't care what their position was, and I started calling them by what they really are, and I called them public servants. So I don't even address them by name anymore. I address them as public servant. You serve the public. That is your role. I am not calling you the right honorable so-and-so because that's not who you are. You are my servant. You're a public servant. I'm going to call you the name that we gave you. We created government. We made government our servants. They serve the public. I am not addressing you as the honorable anything because you serve me. When we start addressing them by the titles that they gave themselves, we prove ourselves to be their servants.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and it's this thing, all of this law and legal and just crap that they've got, it's just all junk and it's convoluted. It's not easy to understand. It's just basically stupid stuff made by douchebags who don't want anybody to know what they're doing because they're so just arrogant and full of hubris that they think that they'll never get caught. And, you know, well, let's face the facts here. Eventually, every scammer, every criminal gets caught in one way or another. The past catches up with you. And I think we're catching up to these guys now, Dane, don't you think?
I think that they can't control the flow of information going on right now. And even if they could, I think it's too late. I think people are waking up. I think they poked us too far. I think the people were willing to put up with it as long as the thievery was kept to a minimum, but it's not. They want everything now, and now that they're not happy with everything that they've stolen from us, now they want to kill us so they can have the planet to themselves. And I think that's the tipping point now. People should make no mistake about it. They are trying to kill us all, actively. So people can either lay down and die or they can start doing something about it, because Agenda 21 is here. They're going to sterilize you with corn. They're going to give you cancers. They're spraying molds and other shit into the air with the chemtrails. They are actively trying to kill the people of this planet. So take that for what you want, but that's what's going on right now.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Slow, painful, sickly death. And before you die, as milk as much money out of you through their crappy foods that they're selling you, which will make you sicker, and as much money out of you by going to their crappy doctors who will give you pills that will make you sicker, and they don't want to have you healthy and thinking and happy and able. They just want you alive and sick and dying slowly so that you can be a perfect little milk money machine for them at the same time as fulfilling your role as a cog in the machine with absolutely no value on your life whatsoever. Forever and complete control and domination of who gets born, how, when, and why will all be granted by permission of government. This is not a bloody joke, ladies and gentlemen. This is very, very real. And you had best treat it as though it were as real as I'm saying it to you now. Otherwise, that normalcy bias that we all have, oh, that's crazy, that would never happen. All the people who think that the crazy people would never get ahead in life get really surprised when all these crazy things start happening because they think it was so crazy that it could never happen and how wrong they all are. You're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show. Thank you very much for doing so. Please donate, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.